Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever gone to the doctor, you don't feel well, and the doctor says, "I've got the cure for you"? Anybody? Well, if he said that, and most of them don't, but if he or she said that, how many of you would go, "No, that's okay, doc. I don't want to be made well. I like being sick like I am"? Now, y'all are laughing. I hope the recording picks this up. Do you ever know people that don't want to get well? What's going on in their lives if they don't want to get well? They get so used sometimes to the burden that they're carrying around. They get so used to being sick. They get so used to living a certain way, they don't want to change. And I was telling the class this morning during Sunday school about my dieting habits. You know, back before I realized that there was a real problem that I had, I would diet sort of casually, right? You know, that meant only having a half a bag of Oreos or something like that in the day. But then at some point when the doctor said, "Look, you really have to deal with this or you're not going to get well," I sort of upped my game a little bit. Do we do that? When we realize that it's really, really important, when we realize that we have to get well or we have to listen to what's being offered or we won't get well, then our attention gets turned up, doesn't it? Our drive to be conforming to whatever the doctor says gets turned up. Well, the great physician today is going to ask everyone in here a question. For those of you that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's going to ask you this question. Do you want to be made well? For those of you that have accepted Jesus Christ and still have issues in your life, have sin in your life, have things that you feel burdening you, He's going to ask you this question. Do you want to be made well? It's the same question. It is the fundamental question that Jesus asks every person in life. And we, just like when we go to the doctor, when we have a choice of following what the doctor says, we have the choice of how we answer. We can say, "Yes, I want to be made well," or, "No thanks, I'm good where I'm at. I'm good living the way that I'm living right now." It's a choice that we have. And it's the same thing that we have a responsibility once the doctor tells us the cure to go and do it, right? So last week we looked at a fellow that Jesus confronted, and basically this man knew who he was, confessed him as the Messiah, and Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man had already begged for mercy, cried out for mercy. And Jesus went deeper. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" But today we're going to meet a man who did not know who Jesus was. We're going to meet somebody who wasn't even in church. He didn't come to church for the first time. He wasn't at church. But he encountered Jesus Christ. He encountered the ultimate authority in the universe, God on earth, and Jesus asked him this real tough question. Do you want to be made well? So turn, if you will, to John 5 in your Bibles. And we're going to be reading the story of Jesus healing a paralytic at the Pool of Bethesda. Let me show you what the Pool of Bethesda looks like as you're turning. So stand also. This is the Pool of Bethesda. It has been unearthed. So we can understand exactly how this worked back at the time of Jesus' day. There were five porches, we're told, and there's some paintings. Five porches with covers. You'll see one of them in this picture up here at the top. And what people would do, they would come and they would lay under those porches. This pool, it was believed, had healing qualities. We'll read about those in a minute, but it was a mineral spring. And the theory was, the belief was, that an angel came down once a year and would stir the waters, and that if you were the first one to get in that pool, after the angel stirred the waters, you would be healed. So there were five of those porches. And that's where we're going to pick up our story today. So we'll read John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and then over to verses 12 and 13. He says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, and here's the question, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Jump over to verse 12. Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. You can be seated. So as this event unfolds, you see it's different than we had last week. This is a man who doesn't know who Jesus is. He's going to meet Jesus. Jesus is going to go find him in the temple after this healing takes place. But at the moment this occurs, he doesn't know Jesus. He is simply laying in this portico, on these porches, in the hopes that somebody will put him into this water because he can't get there himself. So let's break it down. Verses 1 through 3 tells us about how this all came about. We know that this pool, Bethesda, is fed by a spring. Spring comes up from the bottom, and it is fed with minerals, iron, all kinds of other minerals. And the water did swirl when the pools were fed by the stream. And it's described in all kinds of other literature. And what would happen is these people would come and they would lay around waiting to be put into the pool. Now remember, the theory was, the belief was, that you had to be the first one to get into the pool after the waters were stirred or you wouldn't get healed. How do you think a paralyzed man, that's what that word means, unable to move himself, how do you think a paralyzed man would ever be the first person to get in the pool? Probably not going to happen, is it? And you know, he told Jesus, he said, "I've been waiting on somebody to come and to put me in when the waters get stirred." But that's what he's doing. He's been laying there. He'd been infirm, we know from verse 5, for 38 years. So the man was at least 38 years old. We don't know if he was born that way or if condition happened, but he's been there 38 years. He's never made it into the pool. He's lived with this condition of paralysis or infirmity for all that period of time. And there's another thing you need to know about these guys. Some of them made a pretty good living begging from their portico, because people would come to get into the pool just because it was warm, just because it was a mineral bath. And they would donate money to the people who were begging. And some of those guys, history tells us, made pretty good money. Some of them weren't ill. Some of them weren't paralyzed at all. They simply decided they were going to sit down there at the pools where a lot of people came and beg. They didn't want to work. We know this man was infirm. We know this man was paralyzed. But when Jesus saw him lying there in verse 6 and knew that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him the question, "Do you want to be made well?" Okay. And the man answered. I mean, look at his answer in verse 7. He doesn't really understand what Jesus is saying. He doesn't know who Jesus is. He doesn't get the full impact of what Jesus is saying. He goes, "Well, yeah, but there's nobody to get me into the pool. There's no one to put me into that pool." Jesus did not take him and put him into the pool, did he? Look what Jesus did. He gave him a command. And I wish I could express this to you in the way that it's written. Jesus is talking to this man in a normal tone. And then he gives this command like a military officer. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. His tone of voice has changed. It becomes an imperative command that the guy can either follow or not. The guy sat there for 38 years and thinks, I can't get up. I can't walk. I can't do this. But this man whom he doesn't know speaks to him with such authority. What happens? Verse 9. Immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. That is a miracle, folks. That is Jesus introducing himself to someone who never, ever, ever knew him, did not expect a blessing from him, but Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him and wanted to show mercy to him, but he had to ask him that question first. And that question that you might think is silly was this: do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? He could have said no. He could have simply said, you know, I'm good where I'm at. I want to keep making money. Yeah, I know I'm paralyzed, but I want to make money. I want to do this. But he had been infirm for 38 years. So what Jesus is asking him is to look into his heart, just like he's asking us to look into our hearts and answer the question, do we really want to be made well? Are we committed enough to being made well that we're willing to invest what it takes? Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to count the cost of following me. There's a cost to following Jesus. It's not anything we can pay, but it's giving our lives to him. And you see, some people would answer that question no. I don't want to be made well if it takes giving my life to you. I don't want to be made well if it takes surrendering my will to you. I don't want to be made well if it takes letting you live through me. And Jesus said, I want you to think about that mathematical equation. I want you to think about whether it's worth it to you, because if you say yes to me, you're really going to mean it then. You're going to be invested in it. You see, Jesus told us that there were people who answered this question no. In John 1, verse 9, it says, there was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Can you imagine all the people we read about in the Bible who saw Jesus perform miracles, who saw the love of Jesus Christ, who saw him talk to the people who had been caught in adultery, who had been murderers, who did all these horrible things, and Jesus' love on them? Can you imagine one of those people that saw that when Jesus said, do you want to be made well, saying no? I mean, think about that. But here's what Jesus did say. Chapter 3, verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So they chose to live the life they wanted to live and not be made well. So it wasn't a silly question. It wasn't a silly question for the fella, the paralytic who was laying at Bethesda. It's not a silly question for us. You can come to church every single Sunday. You can hear what Jesus does. You can hear the gospel. You can see him working in the lives of other people. You can experience the Holy Spirit. And you can have him ask you time after time, every single invitation, every single day when you pray, every single day when you talk to somebody about Jesus, and he says, do you want what I have to offer? Do you want to be made well? And you can sit there and you can say no. Or you can say, well, not right now, which is no, by the way. It's a question we all have to face. For those of us that have said yes, we face that question, but he doesn't stop asking it there. He continues to ask us this every single day. We have sin in our lives every single day. Do you want to be made well? We have hopelessness. We have sadness. We have gloom, grief. Think about what you're going through in your life right now, and he's going to ask you this question too for the believer. Do you want to be made well? And the solution each and every time to answer that question, yes, simply means that we go to Jesus Christ. But it's the questions that we have to think about. And we have to be willing to say yes after we realize what he's talking about. After we realize what it means to follow him. He says, are you willing to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me? That's what it takes to be my disciple. Are you willing to do that? You know, we want to say yes, but do we? Do we really, really want it? Because if we do, then we can say yes. And at the moment we say yes, Jesus takes us from the condition of being dead to being alive. He takes us to the position of being saved. He takes us to the position of being well. Well, what if he doesn't heal my sickness that I've got? You're still well because you're going to heaven. You're eternally secure. What if he does heal my sickness? That's great too. Then he wants to use that as a way for you to tell others about him. But that question first is, do you want to be made well? I talked about a doctor a lot this morning. And, you know, he said in Luke 5, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. We don't go to the doctor unless we're sick. Some of us will resist going even when we're sick until our wives prod us, right? Or until it gets really, really, really bad. And then we realize, okay, I got to go to the doctor. Just like we finally have to realize that we are sick, we need to realize in order to answer this question from Jesus that we have a sickness called sin. And that sickness means we need to be made well. You see, Jesus asked the question, do you want to be made well? We won't answer that question yes until we realize that we need it. That's what Jesus was telling us about those that love their sin more than him. If you love your sin more than him, if you love the life that you're in more than you are able to love Jesus Christ, more than you are able to appreciate what he's done for you, then your answer to that question may well be no. But when you realize that you are sinful, that we are all sinful, and that without a Messiah, without a Savior, we have no hope of heaven, we have no hope of eternal life, and the only hope we have is for damnation. When you realize that, you should realize, okay, I need Jesus. I need that great physician. I need that doctor. And when you realize that you need the doctor because of this condition called sin, it's like realizing, okay, I've got to take this diet seriously. I've got to lose weight. I've got to take my heart medication. I've got to, whatever your condition is, your blood pressure medication. I'm going to take it religiously. I'm going to exercise. Whatever that is, when you realize that there is a need for it, then you will start to pursue it with all you've got. You'll start to think, okay, this is really important for me. I do need this healing, and I do now want to be well. And when we want to be well, we will do what it takes to get well. We will listen to that doctor. We will listen to the great physician. We will listen to Jesus Christ as he says what it is that we need to do to be made well. And just to jump ahead a little bit, what does he say to non-believers, to people who have not yet put their faith in him, that they need to do to be made well? This is all he says. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. He doesn't say go to seminary. He doesn't say learn all the doctrines of soteriology. He doesn't even say come on Wednesday nights to Bible study. All good things, but he says confess, agree with God that the Lord, your Master, your Savior, Jesus Christ, died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead in confirmation. That's it. Your life at that point begins. That's the answer when Jesus says, do you want to be made well? And we say, yes, I do, Lord. That's what he tells us to do. And then he starts the treatment plan. We call that sanctification. He starts that lifelong treatment plan where he makes us more like himself. But this story tells us something else about our need and our wants. It tells us that we cannot heal ourselves. Just like the paralytic who could not get himself into that pool, we don't have the ability to cure our sin problem. We don't have the ability to heal ourselves of that sin problem. We need someone who can make the payment. We need a perfect, spotless lamb who can be sacrificed before the Lord God to pay for our sin debt. And folks, you can think, well, you know what? I would be willing to die for my own sin. Your life was blemished with sin. The offering that God demands has to be blameless, has to be spotless. No sin in that life. And we could never have done that, even if we had been willing to and wanted to. The Bible tells us that it had to be a sinless, spotless lamb. And John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we cannot heal ourselves. We can't fix it. We can't trade it away. We can't pay for it. We can't do anything to change it except put our faith completely in Him and let Him do the changing. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you, talking about the sinners, He made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and He asked us, do you want to be made well? Those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ said, yes, I do. And we had to confess, I know I have a sin problem. I know I need you. I cannot do this by myself. So I want to confess you as my Lord and Savior. I want to confess you, and I believe, Father, that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And I know you're promising me that when I make that confession, I will be saved. So that's a pretty simple question he asks us today. He continues to ask us that each and every day as Christians when we walk with him, when we sin. Do you want to be made well? I do. He says, then confess your sin, restore your relationship to me. Do you want to be made well? Do you want that burden lifted off? Yes. Give your burden to me. I am here to carry your burdens. What's bugging you today? What's bothering you as a Christian today? If there is something, you need to give it to Jesus because he's asking you the exact same question. Do you want to be made well? A very simple, fundamental question. We know that Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. So the invitation has been going on from the very first time you read verse 6 today. Do you want to be made well? It doesn't matter today if you're a non-believer or a believer. The question is asked to both of you, to all of you. If you're a non-believer, if you've not put your faith in Jesus and you realize, yes, I have a sin problem. Yes, I have a problem that I know I cannot deal with myself. Just like this paralyzed guy, I can't get to where I need to go under my own power. I can't even get there if people help me. Because they can't be good. They can't do what Jesus did. No human being can do what Jesus did. But I want that. I want to be made well. Then Jesus says, what you need to do is you need to confess me. Confess me before God and believe that He raised me from the dead. And you will be saved. That's it. You can do that right where you sit. You can do that if you come down here to the altar. You can do it on the way home in the car. But He calls upon you to answer that question. And you know what? You all will answer that question today. Either you're going to say yes, you're going to say no, or you're going to just kind of ignore the question, which is a no. Not today, Lord, I don't. He asked the same question for those of us who are believers. Do we still want to be made well? We can come back to that healing spring. Think about that spring. Each and every day, if you've got joint pain, you got a hot tub. You got a mineral spring. We came back through Arkansas, coming back from Oklahoma, and two of our teams spun off to go to these hot springs in Arkansas that are supposed to have all kinds of healing qualities. Sounds kind of fun. But we have to be willing to go. Do we want to be healed? So that is the question. That is the invitation today. And I want to do invitation a little bit different. Jennifer, if you will come up. We're going to just play a song this morning. And I'd ask you to bow your heads. Sorry. Bow your heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you this. Once Jennifer starts playing. Is there anybody in here today who's never told Jesus, yes, I want to be made well? If you've never made that confession to Jesus Christ, if you've never said, Lord, I need to be made well. I know I've got a sin problem. I pray that you do that today. But look deep into your heart. Ask yourself, have I ever really done that? If you have, if you've asked Him into your life and you've prayed and you're having difficulty with sin, you're having difficulty with worry, anxiety, burdens, whatever it may be, He says, I want you to be made well. If you've got something like that in your life, whichever one you are, everybody's got their eyes closed. Raise your hand today. Just say, I want Jesus to make me well. I really do. Amen. And as you think about this, think about what He would say to you. Do you want to be made well? Yes, I do. Then put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. Go find that answer in the Bible today. Go find that answer in the Scripture because those are the words of God. Trust Him. This song is how I trust Him more and more. Every single thing you should be trusting Him in. Every single act, every single decision you make should be put in His hands, and it takes all the pressure off of you. You are no longer yours. That is a scary thing to some people. But once you accept Jesus and you realize that He is now in control of your life, He's going to tell you what you need to do. He's going to give you work. He's going to give you things that He wants you to do. He's going to give you ways to glorify Him. It is a freeing, it is the most freeing thing you will ever experience because you just need to follow Him. So spend the rest of this verse praying to God and asking Him that question, and we'll close. Thank you. All right, that song calls Jesus precious. When Jesus is precious to you, you'll understand the need that you need of Him. When He's precious to you, you'll answer that question, yes, I do want to be made well, no matter what it takes. You know, there were a lot of people in the Bible that came to Jesus and said, hey, I'm ready to follow you. Can you imagine somebody getting up today, coming down this aisle, I want to follow Jesus, and this is what Jesus said to them? No. That should stun some of you. Why did He do that? Because they weren't ready. They weren't ready to give their hearts to Jesus. They had not made that calculation of, is it worth the cost? Am I ready to deny myself and follow Him? Am I ready to surrender my life to Him? Because that's what He says. You know, that rich young ruler we talked about a couple of weeks ago was ready to follow all those rules. In fact, he said, I have followed all those rules. I've done it all. Okay, Jesus said, then just go sell everything you got, come follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he had much possessions. He wasn't ready to answer that question. Do you want to be made well? His answer was no, I want my stuff. Those of you that raised your hands, continue in prayer. I'll be praying for each one of you. But you continue in prayer. God will show you what He wants you to do and how He wants you to respond to your answer. He'll give you the verses. He'll give you insight. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do what God is leading you to do. For those of you that thought, oh man, I'd like to raise my hand, but I'm not going to, that's a no. Are you ready to be made well? Nope, not today. We're not promised tomorrow, folks. We're not promised next year. We don't know when our last breath will be. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So if you're sitting here and you're struggling with that decision, part of you wants to, part of you doesn't. I get that. I understand. But if you're struggling with that decision, you need to make it. You need to respond to God and let Him work the way He wants to work. Trust me, His plans will always be better than yours. They're always better for your good. May not seem like it in the short term, may not seem like it in the next 5 minutes, but His plans are always for our good. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You today. We thank You for challenging us with this question. Father, I pray that each and every heart here truly ask it, and I pray here that each and every heart answered, yes, Lord, I want to be made well. Show me what I need to do. Father, it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to do it. I pray that these hearts and these minds follow up with You. They search Your scriptures. They seek Your will. They seek Your spirit. They seek the way that You would have them to respond. You said to the paralytic, get up, take your bed, and walk. An incredibly powerful command. Father, You're going to give us the same command if we ask, if we're willing to listen and we say, yes, I want to be healed. I pray that we listen to that command, You give it to us clearly, and we give You the glory when our lives change. And this we pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.